For the first time in a long time, not only am I back, somewhere in here I have some notes. I'm nervous. I'm not usually nervous. I will be nervous if I can't find my notes. But I think I can still pull it off. Here we go. I really appreciate each and every one of you coming out this morning. See how this is going to work. And answer that. I don't think there is a tightening up. That's all right. I got it. I got this. We'll get her. I hope you all prayed for me this week. I prayed a lot this week. And I appreciate the challenges and before each one of us. Valerie and I guess about 10 years ago now, walked through that door for our first time. I kept hearing about you guys at the fly shop in Spruce Pine. I kept hearing about how well the teaching was taking place here in this church. And I thought, well, you know, maybe someday I'll visit. I told the guy that invited me a mess of times. Every Monday morning that Jim Masters had off, he'd come to the fly shop and he'd tell me how great the teaching was. He said, "You got to hear him. He's good. He's good. He brings the Old Testament and he brings it alive with the New Testament." And he said, "I'm just getting fed." And I said, "Okay." I mean, we were going to a church and everything was going along pretty good. Val and I are not ones to move around a lot in church. I think we become a part of the family. I think that's what Scripture tells us. Usually when I walk into a church, I usually bring a lot of baggage, just like each one of you guys. But I came. We were on the way. We didn't plan on when we left the house to pull in here. But I did. And I never left. Until about 2 years ago. And I got to know each one of you. And you were like family. But I felt it was time. I felt God was calling me out into deeper water. You know, I felt that. I spoke here a few times, and I really appreciated that. You know, the very first time I ever spoke in church wasn't when I was a kid. It wasn't when I was a youth pastor. It wasn't when I was a Sunday school teacher. It was one Easter Sunday when Kurt and I went to Yellow Mountain for sunrise service. And we went back to his little cottage down here, his little condos down here, and we were sitting on the back porch. He said, "How would you like to speak this morning?" I said, "Kurt, it's Easter." You know, he gave me about, you know, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll start it. You know, we'll do this like a singing act. I'll start this thing and you follow us." I said, "Okay." That was amazing. It was an amazing time for me. I didn't have anything prepared. I didn't know I was going to do it 10 minutes before that. But I got up here and I don't even remember what I said. I don't have a clue. I'm sure it wasn't very deep. But I said something. And shortly after that, a dear couple, Dave and Alice Hauser, invited me to prison. And I said, "No way. I don't have any interest in that. I'm trying to stay out of there best I can." But they invited me. They weren't pushy, but they said, "If you ever want to go." And I was thinking to myself, "I'll never want to go." But as God has it, they asked me about a month or so later, and I said, "Okay, I'll go." "You can only go one time." I said, "Good, that's good, that's perfect. That suits my schedule to a T." Val and I were still trucking, so we weren't here all the time. And I walked into that prison, and it brought back a lot of memories. I had worked 6 years as a correctional officer in Maryland. And I wasn't serving the Lord at that time. I knew who He was, but I was in rough shape. And I didn't think anything about it. I got out of there. I only had that one time I could go. And somehow, as God does things, Almost a year later, I got a phone call from Angie Lamb saying, "We have you on a list for volunteers. If you want your blue card, you got to be here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Val and I were home. I think we had quit trucking by then. I think we were in our long career as mold remediators. And so I said, okay, I can be there. So I went. There was like three of us there for our blue cards. Back in the day, there wasn't a whole lot of volunteers coming and going. And I sat there and I went through that, and so many thoughts went through my mind. You know, God, is this you? Is this me? Is this, what's going on? And not to drag the story out too long, within about 4 years after that, God gave me that ministry. I was helping. I was alongside of a man. I was the Timothy that Paul drug around the Mediterranean. You know, I went every time the doors were open, every time I was home, and I would help Jim Williams. That was an older gentleman that knew prison ministry, that had worked in Angola and Louisiana. God had used him in mighty ways, and he wasn't there any longer. And there's Bob. And I knew at that moment, God, you're doing something. You're doing something. And I wasn't sure. And I'm still there. I'll be there Tuesday. We don't have the freedom that we had before COVID, but it's coming back. We've already had some meetings with some of the officials, and it's starting to come back. That all happened here. God used Walnut Grove. He used people sitting in these pews right here to do that. And that's so amazing. 2 years ago, about, the chief deputy of Avery County asked me to go to a prison conference that was being held at the center there by the hospital up in Newland. He had been reading my Facebook pages. He contacted me. He said, "I need to talk with you." He said, "You're what we need in Avery County." And I said, "You apparently don't know me very well. You don't need me." I mean, you know, he said, "Let's have lunch." I said, "Okay." So we met at Lowry's Barbecue up there in Pinola, and we had lunch. We talked for 3 hours. He didn't win the election, but that's okay. He said, "I've been reading your Facebook pages." He said, "And you're always talking about ministry. You're talking about fishing. You're talking about things." He said, "We need a man like this in Avery County." I said, "Well, I think you got a bunch of people like this in Avery County." I said, No. "We need somebody that's bold, somebody that's adventurous, somebody that can spread the joy of Jesus Christ." And I said, "Okay." He said, "By the way, Friday night, we're having a gathering at whatever the name of that center is up there. I only ride by it once a year when I get my physical, so I don't have a clue what it is. But it's a beautiful building up there by the hospital. And Freedom Life from Marion was there. And they came in and they did their show, and they have a musical group, which I'm going to try to have come here. It's a reentry program for people getting out of jail. We have an 80% recidivism rate in Avery Mitchell Prison. So 8 out of 10 coming back. We get to know them real well, like family. But that's not that. We don't want to do that. So I went there. All that took place here. None of this, me standing here today, if I hadn't walked through those doors 8 or 9, 10 years ago, and I wasn't obedient, and I wasn't willing to change and humble myself, I wasn't willing to pick up the Bible and start reading it, because I met men in prison that knew the Bible, that could quote not scripture but books, and it humbled me. I was a pew warmer. And God had a plan for my life. And whether it's here at Walnut Grove, that's up to Him. I don't have anything to do with that. But I have a heart for you people. I have a heart to change this congregation into a vibrant, living organism. I've been successful in business in my life. I've not really worked much. I've not punched a time clock in I don't know how many years. Long, long time ago. But God has blessed me. And I don't say any of that to boast, because it wasn't because I was educated. It wasn't because I worked harder than anybody else. It's because God had His hand on my life. I was at a men's conference a few years ago when I was with a men's ministry called New Wilderness down in Jonas Ridge at a state senator's house. And we had to write down our plan. We had to create a vision for our lives and a mission to fulfill that vision. And I went out and just, and I was still going here. I went out and sat in my van. I bought a handicapped van, so I turned it into a camper. That didn't work. It like gas way more than I like putting it in it, so that didn't work. But I drove it around, and I went back. He said, go out in the woods and write down your vision. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be good. There's a whole group of men. I'm helping lead this, but I'd never been through it. And he asked me to partake. You know, you need to participate in this, Bob. Go out there and write your vision. Okay? So I go out there and I take a legal pad and I start writing. And during that time sitting in that front seat of that van, I wrote a bunch of stuff. The first thing I wrote, I can remember it really well, is I need to be more forgiving of my wife. I don't need to be as critical in my marriage. You guys don't see that. You know, I'm human. I got a lot of flesh around me. You know, when she plays music, I don't need to critique every note that she plays. Now, I'm doing it for her good. But she wasn't taking it for that. And I wrote that down, that I need to be more forgiving. I also wrote down that I'd like to have more time, because the mold remediation business had exploded. We were just busy. And I mean, I was crawling around in crawl spaces and doing basement encapsulations, and the phone would ring off the hook, and I was months out, and it paid really good money, and I said, I need more time. That's another thing that I wrote. I wrote I needed to reconnect with my family, with my sister, and my brother, and my father. My mom had already went to heaven. I need to reconnect with them because I'm the oldest. I'm the leader. I'm the big brother. And I had been distant. And I read a few other things and went back in, and we shared it. It was a very transparent experience. Other men, amazing men, sat there and shared their experience. And there were similarities to what we wrote. I get back home. That Sunday, that was a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. I get back home on Sunday night. And I was writing on that tablet at about 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, thereabouts, before lunch. And Valerie said, you're never going to guess what I did today. I said, I don't know. I looked at the car. It wasn't bent up or anything. I said, I don't have a clue. She said, I took my guitar and I played at church. I said, wow. I wish I'd been there. As I was writing on that piece of paper, as I was literally writing on that piece of paper, God was answering prayer. He had just removed me out of the equation temporarily, so I wouldn't critique her. Just a few days later, I'm sitting in my living room, and I get a knock on the door. And in Land Harbor, that don't happen that much. But you don't, most everybody knows I live up in Land Harbor. And there's a knock on the door. This big old guy was standing out there. I recognized him. He said, man, can I come in? I need to talk to you about something. I said, yeah, come on in. He said, I'm going to buy your mold remediation business. I said, okay. It's not the first business Valerie and I have sold. I said, let's talk about this. He said, I'm willing to pay you $250,000 a day. I got a check with me. I'm ready to do it. I wasn't thinking about the $250,000. Immediately, my mind went to what I wrote on that pad. Immediately. And I'm thinking, God, you're amazing. Now, the good news is I didn't take $250 for it. It wasn't worth $250,000. I was honest with him. And I said, I got a whole bunch of stuff. We need to pray about this. That's how God does, folks. Be careful. I'm a living example that God answers prayer. I'm a living example that God heals people. I'm a living example that a prodigal son can come back. And he's waiting for us. And what are we going to do with it? The only thing that is worse than being blind is having sight with no vision. Helen Keller wrote that, a blind lady. She said, it's bad, but it's not quite as bad as not having a vision. I want you folks, I hope we can meet with each and every one of you, because I'm not sure where this is going. I don't have a program. I don't have anything to offer today. I've got ideas. But if we want this to go forward, we need a vision. A renewed vision. I don't know if folks have a vision. I don't know if churches ever does it. I don't know. If you have your Bibles, and that's another thing, I ask, maybe next week we'll have it up on the slide. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't know how that worked. But we're going to start in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and I probably will start at the 10th verse. Luckily, this is the only scripture that I don't have written down, so I can hold this for this reading here. But a little backstory. Paul's in Corinth. It's his first letter to Corinth, and he's wrote this letter since his visit. And there's a mess of metaphors in this. I could actually just camp right out here on these few scriptures right here. But I'll go ahead and read it. 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, starting at verse 10. According to God's grace that we were given to me, that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder. And another builds on it. But each one is careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious. For the day it will be disclosed, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only through fire. There's a mess of stuff going on in those few verses, folks. Paul is actually writing to the people in Corinth because they had a building inspector back in those days. Your buildings had to be inspected. They had to come around and said, if you don't do it just right, we're not going to approve it. Similar to what we have here in Avery County, or all these counties now have building inspectors, permit processes. But he's really not talking about that. He just used that to get their attention. What he's really talking about is Jesus Christ has laid the foundation for the church. And there's no deviation in how we do this. We don't come up with our own plans. As we seek God's guidance here for Walnut Grove, we have to be careful that we don't go off on a tangent, program it to death, take away from the scripture, take away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to use prayer and discernment to make sure it lines up with this. And that's where I want you folks to give me feedback. I want to give you feedback. I want to hear what you have to say. But it has to go with this. Because Jesus laid the foundation for this church. He loves this church. He don't want this church to ever close, or he wouldn't have started it. In Colossians 1:18, the Bible tells us that Christ is the head of the body in the church. It's Christ's house. It's not a movie theater. It's not a place where you come and sit and watch. It's not a place where you check it off because we've been here. Don't stop coming. Keep coming. Keep checking it off if that's what you're doing. But that's not what it's for. We're going to have to lay aside some of our personal agendas. Some of our personal... There's going to be a lot of people going to miss Kurt and Karen. I get that. There's going to be a lot of people saying, I don't know, I don't like what he says. That's okay. You don't have to like it. I hope you do. But if it don't match Scripture, I want you to run me out of here on a rail. If I take off on a tangent, I want these elders to come and say, you're out of here. I don't need no warning. I don't need no 2 weeks notice. Because I'm in it 100%. I have no agenda other than the kingdom. I have found the pearl of great price, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to tell everybody I know about it. There's 67 people across the United States this morning that are praying for Walnut Grove because I asked them to yesterday. And they're prayer warriors. You know, I've got people that when I get in need of a prayer, when I get in need of an answer from God, when I need somebody to give me a direct line, and I'm not playing, and I've been there several times in my life, there's people that I call. There's people I get on the horn and I say, brother, I need you. And they pray. And I have people do that for me. Man, brother, I need you to pray for me. It's not because I'm special. It's not because I have the gift of anything other than loving Jesus. I love him this morning, folks. He's my life. I'm not building an empire. I don't want a mega church. As a matter of fact, these people that I contact, none of them have big churches. Most of them aren't even pastors. But the ones that are pastors, on a good day, wouldn't have half that many people. But I know that they're on fire for Jesus. I know their prayer life is an amazing thing. I'll be honest with you, I'm not into the glitz and glamour of what we have turned the American gospel into. I read the Puritans. I want to read what the old guys said that come up hard, that had to walk to church or had to ride a mule to church. I want to hear what the Wesley brothers had to say when they planted the Methodist denomination on the eastern shore of Maryland. Charles and John Wesley, I want to hear what they had to say. Charles Spurgeon. I want to hear what they had to say. I listened to them. And it's amazing, folks. It's not about me. It's not about prosperity. It's not about anything. The generation that we're trying to attract right now sees through that right now. Andre and Thomas, you see through it. If it's not genuine, why waste your time? It's got to be genuine. We got to be different. We got to be on fire for one another. We got to love on one another. We got to take this thing serious because we don't know how many more days we have, but while we're here, we're going to occupy until he comes. We need to embrace our community and the unity in this building. It's going to be a little awkward for some of us. Kurt was here for 17 years. Kurt's still going to be here from time to time, I hope. I'd love for him to, you know, still teach from time to time. And I may be gone in 3 months. That's okay. That's okay. God opened another door. I'm hoping it's here, but it's okay. One of the most impactful summers I had was about 4, 5, 6 years ago. Now, I don't remember. We had a handyman business. Remember that, Val? My goodness. I got a whole bookcase just of business cards that are no longer any good. So if anybody needs some business cards, anybody collect business cards, I can help your collection. We were running the handyman business. And Jacob Yelton needed a job. And that was the most impactful summer of my Christian walk. He's strange. In a good way. That's a strange fella. He believes this 100%. He wore it every day. Even whether he showed up late or showed up early, he wore it every day. He hangs with people that believe in this, that sold out for Jesus. He's the kind of person to say, man, keep me in your prayers. They stop. We don't have any prayer. We pray right now. We're walking in the streets of Land Harbor, and Caleb was visiting. And this lady walks by, and she didn't look three doors down from where we live. She's suffering with something. Cancer? Huh? Well, yeah, she needs some Gatorade. I don't know. But she's suffering. She's sick. And she walked by, and she struck up a conversation with us. And here I've been her neighbor for, I don't know how long they've been there. I've been there longer than they have. A lot longer. We have. But and I said, you know, how you doing? Well, you know, okay. She's dragging along. And she's young. And I said, I'll be praying for you. Caleb stops me in my tracks. Whoa, let's pray now. I said, that's so cool. Because the God he was praying for is real. He answers prayer. He wants us to get involved in the game. We need unity, folks. We need to work at this together. We need to be a team. We need to be a team. On our knees, in the Word. If you don't have a prayer life and you don't have I'm not talking about a prayer life that's, and if it start, it's fine to start here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But if you don't have a prayer life every day, in the morning, before you rise or as you rise, it don't have to be long and drug out. It's not the length of the prayer. It's the sincerity of the prayer. They get longer at times and shorter at times. It's according to what you got going on. But if you don't have it, come talk to me. If you don't have a Bible time, if you don't have a devotional time, come talk to me. This is supernatural. This is real. And if we want to attract a new group of people, we want to attract the, you know, I was listening to Barna. Barna's a guy that takes all of the statistics in the churches today, has been doing it for 30 years, and tells us where the church is headed. It ain't good. We've lost Generation Z. Didn't know there was one, but there is. That's one is after X. We've lost them. 8% of that group of young folks go to church. 100 years ago, 70-some% of everybody in every place in America went to church. 70%. And today we've lost it. God didn't leave. God hasn't changed. The American gospel is a pitiful experience for serving God, I'm sorry to say. The 2 years that we left, we went to a little church on Buck Mountain in northern Avery County, right on the Tennessee line, through prison ministry. I met Paul Cole. Paul was involved in prison ministry. The deputy invited me there to that particular gathering, and I met Paul. When he told me he was on Buck Mountain, when I first moved here years ago, a friend of mine, Cade Buchanan, fishing partner of mine, said he can fish anywhere in the country, but don't go up on Buck Mountain, they'll kill you. You're not from here. It's okay. And when he told me he was from Buck Mountain, he was a shined up and polished guy. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Bristol, Tennessee. He said, but I've had the Heaton Church, Christian Church, for a number of years. He said, but now I've left and I've got a little chapel up on Buck Mountain. He said, y'all just stop by sometime. I said, I will. And we got talking about prison ministry and his ideas and my ideas were similar. And he had an in to the Avery County Jail, and I did. I've been trying to get into Avery County Jail. And the old sheriff didn't want anything to do with it. We got a new sheriff in town, folks, and he's a Christian. and he serves Jesus. And he wants as much ministry in that jail. And it's different than prison ministry. So one Sunday morning, we left here. We didn't come here. And we went to Buck Mountain. And that chapel's about a third the size of this. And if you have to use the bathroom, it's cold. It's outside. I grew up with an outhouse. But I had a, well, I didn't always have to go outside. But I grew up with one. That church didn't have running water. That church had enough power to turn on a heater, but they lost their sound system. Had a great sound system, but they couldn't do both. Or they couldn't run their air conditioner while their sound system worked because they couldn't do both. Most of you know where I'm talking about on Buck Mountain. It's right before you enter into that fine just community of Clausen's Holler. What God showed me was it don't matter where you're located. It don't matter what programs you have. It don't matter if you got running water. Most people wouldn't go there. And most Sundays it's standing room only. There's 10 or 15 people in the vestibule because there's no place to sit. Or in the back, their vestibule's in the back. Like ours here, theirs is in the back. Can't get into place. When they start singing, the altar fills up. I'll be honest with you folks, I've been here for a long time. I ain't never seen nobody at this altar. It's not because we don't have needs. It's because we don't want to humble ourselves and come to the altar and say, help me, Jesus, in front of our friends and our, what we call each other, brothers and sisters. Or maybe you don't. I'm not being mean. But God showed me that. They have a horse trough, Brother Paul. You remember them old galvanized. You may have one on the farm. They have a galvanized horse trough. And they bring the volunteer fire department in there. They don't have any running water. And they fill it up. And most Sundays when we go in there, it's full because somebody's getting baptized. Now, in the summertime, they go down to the river. They're in the middle of Roan Mountain. That's where they do it. They, where we play disc golf, that's where they baptize people down there. But almost every week, somebody's being baptized, and the church is exploding. And how come? Same Jesus. Everybody's sincere. You folks are sincere. You folks have a lot to offer. You folks are genuine, born again, blood-bought Christians. Why? They're not into ritual. They're not into the same way that their grandparents did it. They're not in reading from the Bible a passage or saying a prayer from a program. They preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it convicts you. And it changes your life. And all you folks, grandkids, that don't come here, that live in the area, is going to end up in Buck Hill because that's where the Spirit of God is. And they love on one another. We have picnics all the time. We have gatherings all the time. It's amazing. It's organic. It's growing. You want to see if we're alive? Are we growing? Chad got some, you got some something back there, some English ivy today, and he's going to take it back and he's going to seed it, and it's going to put out sprouts. He's going to put it in some really good soil, and pretty soon he's going to have more of it. It smelled good too. That's really good smelling stuff. Do we have that here? I think we do, but I think it needs to be revitalized. We can't pray for a revival for our community if we can't have a revival for ourselves. It don't work that way. We have to be revived. We have to love Jesus more than anything there is. He's preeminent. He's magnificent. He answers my prayer. Whether he heals me, if I get sick, whether he heals me here or heals me there, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to spend eternity with somebody that I'm going to know as best I can before I get there. When I get the opportunity to tell other people about him, I can't shut up. I spent 2 days this week out in the woods with another brother that I'm discipling. He'll be here. Professional musician from Marion, North Carolina. And he contacted me several months ago. Said, do you still have that private water? He fished with us when we had our fishing business. Do you still have that private water up in Newland? I said, well, I still have access to it. I'm no longer involved with it. I signed my, to Cade Buchanan, my pardon. I gave him my half. Now he has all of it. But I said, come on up. He said, well, I really want to get with you. I knew right then what it was. He wouldn't have come fishing, but he wanted to talk to me about Jesus. Because nobody is going to come to me unless that's the only reason I exist. If you read my Facebook pages, you read my social media, that's the only reason I exist. And that's a 180-degree change from where I was before I walked through that door 8-10 years ago. It happened here, but we can't keep it here. It's got to flow through here. So he shows up. And he said, I read your ebook about guiding by grace. I wrote an ebook. Oh, it's amazing. It's not really. But I figured I had to do it. And it was about my experience with Jesus Christ on streams. God showed me in his beautiful creation. You know, man, he'll say he'll give you the desires of your heart if they line up with his. It could be a deer stand. It could be a golf course. It could be a pool hall. It could be, I've got friends in Tampa that are ministering in strip clubs after the strip club closes at 3 o'clock in the morning to the prostitutes that work in the strip club, and they're giving their hearts to Jesus because Jesus loves them. Man, that's what I'm talking about. I live in a community that's got a lot of confused people. There's a lot of people that live in Land Harbor that are confused about their sexuality and a lot of other things. Our neighbors live all around me. I'm going to invite them because I love them. I don't love what they do no more than I love my sin. I don't. And I live in repentance, folks. I'm not out there doing the stuff that I used to do, but I still say things and think things. And if you're not careful, you catch me on the wrong note. Old Bob will raise up, and I have to ask God, forgive me, this old body of flesh. Forgive me. But I'm going to invite them. Whether they come or not, I don't know. I know some of them will come because they're friendship. You don't have to be like me for me to like you. You may not like me, but you don't have to be like me. I'm gonna invite them. And we're going to make them feel welcome if they come. And they may hear the gospel. And they may get delivered. And it may go on to be their test that they walk through life and think they're messed up and confused and depressed. It may turn out to be the greatest testimony that anybody's ever heard. That's what I want for Walnut Grove. We have the funds. We have the building. We have a great core of people. I want you to pray and seek God for what we have to do that lie ahead of us. Or tell me now and I'll leave. I'm not being rude. I'm not. I'm not going to put my hand to the plow and take it off. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to keep moving forward in love for Jesus Christ because he's my Savior. It's contagious. We're going to have to step out in faith. We're going to have to give God the opportunity to fulfill our dream here. We're going to have to take some risks. Wow, that's weird. Church, take risks. I have to be open to new ideas. As long as they come from here, I'm down with it. So this week, I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. And if you don't come to me, I'm coming to you. Be forewarned. I really probably will come to you at lunchtime or at dinner time. You know, I'm like a lot like Jesus. I love to eat. And I love Wednesday night, you know, with the soup night and the movie night and fellowship. That's cool. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. That's great. I'm glad we're doing it. I'm excited about that. But pray about it this week. Pray about it next week. Don't continually pray. Don't stop. Let's see what God has in store in Walnut Grove. I'm going to leave you with one last thing. This is a quote that I found this week of an author that I read a lot of. He said, "We need a baptism of clear seeing. We desperately need seers who can see through the mist. Christian leaders with a prophetic vision. Unless they come soon, it will be too late for this generation. And if they do come, we will no doubt crucify a few of them in the name of worldly orthodoxy." A.W. Tozier. Think about that this week. We need to be able to see. We need to ask God for vision, direction. I'm telling everybody, I was standing in wherever we buy that old stale food at in Spruce Pond. We have a store in Spruce Pond that sells stale food. It's a short date store. It's stale. Val brings home these chips and stuff, and man, they're cheap though. I mean, they're great price. I was standing there yesterday, and I was talking about Jesus. Was it yesterday? Friday. We were talking about Jesus. I was telling them, "Hey guys, you know, you're never going to believe this, but they've asked me to speak this Sunday at Walnut Grove." Yeah. People that I know that ride by here, that live in Spruce Pine, that ride by here to go to church in Boone. Like, okay. You know, gas is expensive. I can help you. You know, I'm telling people about us. Invite your neighbors. Go knock on somebody's door. When Dad and I planted churches, if you don't want to do it, come along with me. I'll knock on their door. I've never been injured. I had a guy throw a pretty good stick of dynamite at me one time down in Cox's Creek, but didn't hit me. I'm okay. Let's get some ministry going. Let's open this altar. Let's get some prayers going. If you're sick, you need prayer. Yes, put it on the prayer list, by all means. But ask for the elders of the church to pray upon you, to anoint you with oil. That's what the word says. Word said, don't put it on no list. It didn't say that. It said, call for the elders of the church. When you get real sick, you will. And we'll pray for you. And I've seen God do some mighty things. That's what we want. That's what I want. And I want every one of you to be a part of it. I want to see your grandchildren. I want to see your children. I want to see church so excited that it can't stay away. I'll be honest with you, folks. What we're doing ain't attractive. It's good. It's like a really good piece of sourdough bread. I love sourdough bread. But it don't have no butter on it. Needs that butter. That butter comes from the Holy Spirit. It's like having a really good fresh ear of corn. Brother Paul gave me some corn. It was the best corn. We had a piece of corn last night. It tastes like field corn. We got it up at the store. It did. It felt like it tastes just about like sweet field corn. But it's not as good as your corn is, Brother Paul. It wouldn't have been quite as good without that butter and that salt. We got the corn. Now we need to get the salt. We need to go get the butter. We need to freshen it up. So I hope some of that resonates with you this week. I hope you get in the Word this week. I've got some business cards on me. I got some. If you need my phone number and you don't have it, I'll be more than happy. And I'll probably answer the phone. Maybe not, but I probably will. This week I've got a busy week. I've got people coming from Morehead City, North Carolina, tomorrow to spend the day with me. I love to disciple men. I love to tell men about Jesus. You get me on a trout stream, boy, we have revival. It's amazing because they're hungry. They're tired of just going through the motions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that you called each one of us here this morning. I thank you for the gift of your Son, for Jesus, to take on the sins of the world, Father, for you to have to look away so I wouldn't be judged. Father, I thank you for that. And I will ever, for eternity, be grateful. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. It takes me by my hand every morning when I get up off my knees and guides me through the day. And when I stumble, put his arm around me and say, it's okay. You're his. You're his. Before the foundations of the earth, you called these people into your family. And we're yours. Now, Father, I ask you to add the increase. I ask you to send us new families, not just to build up the attendance, Father, but to spread the gospel, to spread the good news, to spread that Jesus is alive. There's people hungry and dying and needed right around us. Father, I pray for that this week. I pray for each and every person in here, each and every person's family, that you'll use us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hymn 166, Come Thou Almighty King.
Let's join our fellowship circle. Apparently he made my mic live.